Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Tzadi Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we discovered that an earthenware oven that happened to be smeared with animal fats, there had been a possibility of making the oven useful for general baking by firing up the oven from within, which is the normal way of the use of the oven, where the coals are inside the oven at the same side as the surface that had absorbed the problematic substance. With that idea, with that knowledge in mind, that a tanur has the possibility of being kashered because it can be fired up from within. And the Gemara went so far as to suggest, what about pots, earthenware pots? Could they not be kashered as well? In other words, if the earthenware pot absorbed any problematic substance by putting coals inside the pot and heating them up, could that not also serve to kasher, to remove, to expunge the problematic absorbed substance? The Gemara said, in theory, that could be done. However, people won't do it because they're afraid of the pot cracking because of the intense heat. That's what the Gemara mentioned at the bottom of Tzadi Heomit Beis. The Gemara mentioned, they used the expression, Chayas Olayo Demispiri. They're concerned, they have compassion over their pots, so to speak, and they're fearful, and therefore we suggested that, based on Rashi and Psochim, that if you would matir people kashering their pots, they will legitimatize, or they'll rationalize their actions and fire them up from outside. In other words, put coals on the outside of the pot, or put the pot on a fire and expect that to kasher, when we know that doesn't work, because there the fire is on the other side, from the outside of the pot, not from within. With that in mind, the Gemara asks at the top of Tzadi Vov, Elo kederos shel mikdosh amai yishavru, the pots of the mikdosh. Why does the Mishnah say that the pots, the earthenware pots of the Beis HaMikdash that were used for cooking up a Korban Chatos, that they must be smashed? Nehadrinu likivshonos. Why not put them back into the kilns in which they were fashioned? And that intense heat would, in fact, kasher the pots. Would remove the, in the case of the Beis HaMikdash pots, it would remove the absorbed chatos meat, the taste from their walls. Omar Rabbi Zeira lefisha ein oisin kivshonos b'Yerushalayim. The reason that we don't have this suggestion is because we don't make fireplaces. Kivshonos would be kilns in Yerushalayim because of the smoke that they emit. With regard to the method of dealing with the earthenware pots, in fact, what do? We smash them. We smash them in the Azora. So Abaye's question is, well, just like you're saying that we don't have kilns in Yerushalayim, do we have garbage heaps in the Azora? So the Gemara now, in viewing Abaye's response, says that this response of Abaye is really unfounded. Ishtamitze, it escaped Abaye momentarily. Hoditoni Shmaya Bekalnebo, that which Shmaya taught in the town of Kalnebo, Shivrei Klicheres Nivloim B'Mekoimon, the broken earthenware miraculously was absorbed into the ground where they were smashed, so that the issue of Ashpasas Bazara never comes to the fore. Ela. Ha diyama Rav Nachman Ravua. Tanur shel mikdosh shel mateches have. The tanur of the Beis HaMikdash, the tanur was used for preparing menachas, of the baked meal offerings, na'avid decheres. The Rabbo Bar Bar Chana tells us that the tanur of the Mikdash was mateches, which we dashed underline, it was metal. Why did they need to make it of metal? Could they not have made it of earthenware? Deheseko mibifnim hu. Its firing up is from within, so that if the tanur of the Beis HaMikdash had absorbed any problematic sacrificial substance that would become nosar if left inside, if left in the walls, left absorbed, that shouldn't be a problem. You could have made a tanur of cheres, and since, as we saw on the previous Amud, the tanur is fired up from within, it should have lent itself to being kashered, the absorbed taste being subject to being removed. So the Gemara answers, the reason in the Beis HaMikdash they did not make a tanur out of earthenware is because the tanur had to serve not only as a device for preparing food, baking the menachas, but it also had to serve as a service vessel. And the role of the service vessel is to impart sanctity to that substance that is prepared within it. And service vessels cannot be made of just any substance. They cannot be made, for example, out of earthenware. We're going to see shortly in the Gemara that there is a generous or lax opinion with regard to materials for clay shores, that of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehudah. But in allowing different materials, he doesn't go so far as to include even earthenware. And he'll tell you that in addition to metal, wood could serve as a service vessel, as the material for making a service vessel, but not cheres. Therefore, this suggestion, even though from the koshering aspect of it, from the removal of that which is absorbed in its walls, cheres could have been a reasonable, a decent, an acceptable material. Nevertheless, from this other aspect, from this kli shoreis aspect, cheres is ruled out. Let's now read this in the Gemara. Dekevon deiko shtei halechem v'lechem aponim. These are two types of meal offerings, the shtei alechem, which was brought on Shavuos, and the lechem aponim, which was the weekly breads that sat in the heichal, the afiyoson betanur, their baking is in a tanur, ukedushoson betanur, and their sanctification is also in a tanur, in an oven. Have lei klishores, the oven serves the role of a service vessel, which imparts inherent sanctity. Uklishores decheres lo avdinon, and we don't make earthenware service vessels. The afilu Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehudah lo ka'omar elo de'etz. Even Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehudah, who is makil, who is lenient with regard to the allowing of different materials for clay shores for service vessels, as is seen in Maseches Sukkah, even he doesn't go so far as to allow earthenware. Just eights, aval decheres lo, but not cheres. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a very, very profound incident. The length of this Maisa, you can see it's indicated by the length marker. We have the word Maisa written to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. On the outside margin, we have the Nosei, the topic heading. Maisa shel melamed al chashivus yediyas mekoros b'limud Torah. This Maisa will serve to show how important it is for one to be familiar with original sources when it comes to Torah learning. V'shi efshar loymar svora sheneged mokar, and that it's unacceptable to offer logic that runs up against sources. So here we have the story, and in the story you'll see how their information appears that ties in to our general sugya of kibbutz and you're getting out absorbed materials from vessels that we've been dealing with till now. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yehuda have a rogil kamei de rami bar chama. Rabbi Yitzchok was a student that was learned regularly by Rami bar chama. Shavke, one day he left him the ozu le Rav Sheshes, and he went to learn by Rav Sheshes. Yoimochad pogabe, one day Rami bar chama met up with Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yehuda. Omar lei, Rami says to Rabbi Yitzchok. Now there's a phrase that's used over here that has a mushal in it that the Gemara itself will explain. Al kapita nakton recha osi lo liad. The al kapitan is a type of official, a high government official. And is it, do you feel, says Rami to Rabbi Yitzchok, because the al kapita has fragrance in his hand, as he might have put on perfumes, and someone comes to touch his hand, that he will absorb the scent, the smell. Mishum da'azlis loch lekami d'Rav Sheshes, do you think, because you left me and went to Rav Sheshes, habis loch ki Rav Sheshes, just because you're in his presence, you will become like him? Apparently, Rami bar chama was slighted by Rabbi Yitzchok's departure from him in favor of listening to the classes, the lectures of Rav Sheshes. Before we go further, let's just go over the Rashi who explains this particular mushal. Rashi on the upper part of the page, third line from the top, Al kapitin nakten reach osi lo liyad mishum da'azlis loch kami de Rav Sheshes avis loch ki Rav Sheshes. Moshol hu, this is an example, an analogy, al gasei haruach, regarding haughty individuals, hamishtadlim lamoy b'mokom gedolim, people who try to keep high company. The Omar, and says, the gas ruach, the haughty individual, will tell you, haduchus achazni biyodi, v'reach amalucha nilkat l'soch yodi, the minister held my hand, and therefore the smell of monarchy has been absorbed into my hand. Al kapita is equals duchus. Duchus is a type of high official in English. Maybe you have a similar word, a duke, which is found in Masechet Shavuos. So Rami bar chama seems, as we mentioned, took offense at Rav Yitzchok's departure, and says, what do you think? You think because you went to the great Rav Sheshes, you're going to become like him? Amale, Rav Yitzchok responds and says, Lav mishum hochi. This isn't the reason that I went to Rav Sheshes. And he goes on to explain himself. Mor ki bo'ino milso minei. You, he said, addressing Rami bar chama, says, when I ask a question of you, poshit li misvora, you respond from logic. Rami bar chama was a thoughtful individual who thought things out and answered with logical responses. However, ki mashkachno masnisa porchola, when I would chance upon Tanaic sources, brises, that were counter to what you said, I would use the source, I would raise the source in objection to the logic that you suggested, and thereby undo the logic, because in Torah learning, sources are of primary importance, and they carry more weight, a source, that which one learns through tradition, it has more weight than personal logic. However, Rav Sheshes, ki bo'ina milsaminei, Rav Yitzchok explains that, well, now that I'm learning by Rav Sheshes, and when I ask Rav Sheshes a question, poshet li mi masnisa, Rav Sheshes was known for his great knowledge of sources, and Rav Sheshes poshetly, he would answer, respond to my question from a source. The chinami mashkachas masniso parcha, and even in the event that I would find a source that would run counter to what he said and question him, nevertheless, that doesn't undo, that doesn't repudiate that which Rav Sheshes answers. What you have then is a masnisa umasnisahi. What you then have is a machlokes, a Tanaic controversy. And as such, that's, we'll call it a legitimate situation, and thereby my question doesn't undo the teachings that Rav Sheshes provides. Omar Lay, Rami Bar Chama responds and says, Boy mini milsa, the ifshit loch kimas nisa. Ask of me a question, and I will offer you an answer. I'll give you an answer from Svara, and when you check out your sources, you'll find out that they are in agreement with my answer. So Rami Bar Chama, in a manner of speaking, is saying, put me to the test. Bo'amine. So Rav Yitzchok asks the following question. Bishel b'miktsatz kli. A korban, a sacrifice, was cooked in a vessel, but the water level in the vessel, the food in the vessel, the food water level in the vessel, only touched part of the vessel. Tone, the question is, tone marika ushtifa kol akli oy ein tone. Does the entire vessel have to be subjected to the Mariko Ishtifa process, the rinsing out process, or maybe it's unnecessary for the entire vessel, rather just the spot on which it landed or which had contact with the sacrificial meat. Amale, so Rami Bar Chama responds and says, Eino Ton, the entire vessel does not require being subjected to Mariko Ishtifa. Midi Dehave Ahazah. Similar to the way that we deal with the blood, sacrificial blood, that lands on a garment, a sugya that we've seen already before. And the halacha there is that only the spot on which the blood landed needs kibbutz. So just like over there, the dam chatos that lands on the beged, only the spot, the mokam adam, requires kibbutz, so too, by mriko shnifa, only the part of the vessel that had come in touch with the cooking needs to be dealt with Mariko Shtifa. So Rabbi Yitzchok, upon hearing this response, he says, V'halo tana hachi. The Rashi across from here says, V'halo tanya hachi. Lo ashkichon masnisa dekoi kavaseich. We don't find a brisa that says like you are saying. V'at amris de tifshot ki masnisa. And you said that you would give me an answer that is in accordance with sources. Omale, so Rami Bar Chama says, Mistabro kebeged. The Savora would suggest, like that the Savara, the logic would suggest that the Mariko Shtifa is to be dealt with, the vessels to be dealt with like the clothing article, the article of clothing that absorbed the dam, and that clothing is a Tanaic source. So that my answer isn't completely divorced from Tanaic literature. I gave you a Savara concerning Mariko Shtifa, paralleling it to the Beged, which in fact is a Tanaic source. Ma Beged Eino Ton Kibbutz, just like the Beged doesn't require Kibbutz Ela B'Mokoim Hadam, except for the point of contact with the blood, and that is a Tanaic source. Af kli, so too with regard to the cooking vessel, that the metal cooking vessel that you asked me about, Eino Tom Riko Shtifela B'Mokom Bishol, only the Mokom Bishol requires the Riko Ushtifa. What we've done with our markings, we've added a dashed underline to the words Mokom, because this is the, we'll call it the focus of Rami Bar Chama's answer, and also in his attempt to use his Svara to parallel it to the din of Mokom by the case of Dam. Omale, so Rav Yitzchok responds to this and says, well, if you're going to go with Svara, I'm going to ask on that. He says, Mi Domi, how can you compare the case of the Beged to the case of the Bishol? Dam lo mifapea. Blood, when it gets absorbed into a garment, doesn't spread throughout the entire garment. It lands on a particular spot, and it's more or less limited to that spot. Bishul, however, when you're dealing with cooking, the nature of the cooking process is, even if the food level doesn't cover the entire contents of the pot, doesn't cover the entire inside of the pot, nevertheless, Bishul mithapea, it spreads. The Oid Tanya, and furthermore, there is a Tanaic source that in fact suggests to the contrary of what you're saying. And if you glance to the lower part of the narrow lines where this source comes to an end, you'll notice a dashed underlined section where it says, Bishel b'miktzas hakli ton riko shtifa kol hakli ma she'en kein b'hazor. You have a Tanaic source that stands in contradiction to that which Rami Bar Chama answered. So let's now read that inside. The Ode Tanya, and furthermore, there in fact is a source that will counter what you said. Chomer b'hazor mi riko shtifa v'chomer mi riko shtifa. There are stringencies that one finds in the case of Hazor, which is a reference to the sin offering blood that landed on the garment, stringencies of the dam over the case of Mriko Shtifa, the need for cleaning out a vessel used for cooking. The Chomer Mriko Shtifa Mibazor. And likewise, there is a stringency in the realm of Mriko Shtifa over the case of Hazor. And the Brisa goes over this now. Chomer Bahazor. The process of Hazor is necessary when you're dealing with external sin offering blood as well as internal sin offering blood. Those are the Chatos that were, whose blood was sprinkled in the Heichal. And a second Chumrah, the Yeshna Lifnei Zriga, and it's a necessity, it's kibus of the beged is required before the zrikas adam. In other words, it's only the blood that's going to be sprinkled that, if landing on the beged, if it lands on the beged, needs to be subjected to kibus, as opposed to blood that's that lands blood that was already sprinkled that happens to land on a garment that does not require kibus. These points of Yeshna B'chatos, Hachitzonos and Pnimios, and Yeshna Lefnei Zrika do not exist by Mriko Shtifa. Masha Ein Kein B'Mriko Ushtifa. Mriko Shtifa does not apply to Pnimios, and it's not something that is done before Zrika Zadam. Chomer B'Mriko Ushtifa, the stringencies that apply to Mriko Shtifa, Shamriko Shtifa Neheges Bein Bekotche Kotchim Bein Bekotchim Kalim. Mriko Shtifa is something that is necessary whether high level sanctity sacrifices or even low level sanctity sacrifices were cooked up in the pot. Mriko Shtifa is necessary for the pots used for cooking all kinds of sacrifices. Bishel b'miktzas hakli, ton riko shtifa kol hakli. If the kli was used, only part of it was used for the cooking, let's say, the upper walls, the upper levels of the kli did not come into direct contact with the food, nevertheless, the entire vessel needs to be subjected to mirikos shtifa, to the rinsing out. Ma she'ein kein b'hazah. This is not the case. These two points are not true in the case of hazah. As we saw, hazah does not apply to all kinds of sacrificial blood. The din of kibbutz does not apply to all kinds of sacrificial blood. And the blood that lands on a garment necessitates kibbutz only on the spot that the blood landed in, not the entire garment, as opposed to what we just saw by Mirikon Shtifa. This last point runs counter to that which Rami Bar Chama answered Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rami Bar Chama says back, Itanya, Tanya. Well, if there's a source that says otherwise, other than what I said, so it is a source, and I stand corrected. My answer falls away in the face of the source. V'taimomai, what's the source for the source, so to speak? What's the basis for this halacha that you see in the Tanaic source? That Mirikon Shtifa, even though he was mevashel, he cooked up in mixas hakli, part of the kli, the entire kli must be subjected to Mirikon Shtifa. Omar Kro, the pasuk says, V'im b'kli nechoshes bushala. And from this pasuk we learn, V'afilu b'mixas kli, even if part of the kli was used for the bishul. Even if part was used for the bishul of the sacrificial meat, the entire kli needs to be subjected to Mirikon Shtifa, which is the subject of this particular pasuk. Echad kotshe kotshim v'chulei. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara on the outside margin, under our Nosei heading, Nosei being the topic, we've written, Machloikis Tanoim, I Kotshim Kalim Bo'inon Riko Shtifa. We'll see a Tanaic controversy regarding the issue of whether light level sanctity sacrifices, when cooked up, necessitate the Riko Shtifa process for the pots. Tanu Rabbonon, Chatos. The Posuk talks about a sin offering. Ainli Elo Chatos. So I would think that this is limited to the sin offering. Kol HaKotshim Inayim. All sacrificial meat. From where do I know that the process applies to all sacrifices that are cooked up? Talmud Lomar, Kodesh Kodoshim Hi. That pasuk is of a general nature, which would include all sanctified items. Yochol sheni marbez ha-truma, should I include even the truma tithe that's given from produce that's grown, and given from that produce to Kehanim? If Truma is cooked up, should I subject the pots to Mirikon Shtifa as well, being the Truma has an element of holiness to it? Talmud Lomar, Oisa. The Pasuk uses this word as well, Oisa, which is a limitation expression, Prat L'Truma. This word excludes Truma from the requirement of Mirikon Shtifa. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This so far has been Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the result of which is that all sacrificial meat will require the pots that in which they are cooked to Mirikon Shtifa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kotshe Kotshim to Mirikon Shtifa, Kotshim Kalim Einon to Mirikon Shtifa. Rabbi Shimon takes a different approach and says only high-level sanctity sacrifices are subject to Mirikon Shtifa, as opposed to the Kotshim Kalim. Dichtiv Kodesh Kodashim. Kotshe Kotshim in Kotshim Kalim. Lo, the Pasuk says Kodesh Kodashim, which would mean the high level sanctity korbanos and not the lower ones. So if that's the case, and that sounds like a pretty solid argument, we want to go back to Rabbi Yehuda and see what does he say. The Gemara goes on, my time of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the basis of Rabbi Yehuda? After all, Rabbi Yehuda did not limit the din of Mikud Shtifa to that which the Pasuk itself seems to suggest. Rabbi Yehuda went to extend Mikud Shtifa to Kachim Kalim as well, when the Pasuk itself refers to Kachim Kachim. The Gemara answers, Midi Istrich Oisa Limute Truma, from the fact that the word Osa was needed to exclude Truma, Truma being a lower level of sanctity than sacrifices. So from the fact that Osa, the Torah, excluded Truma, Mechlad the Kodshim Kalim Tunim Riku Shtifa. It must be, we can infer that the Kodshim Kalim do require Riku Shtifa. The Torah, in effect, is saying that just don't do Riku Shtifa to Truma, but everything else, everything above it in sanctity, would require it. Rabbi Shimon, Omar Loch, Oisa, Kidamoran. Rabbi Shimon uses the word Osa for that which we have already learned. Rashi points out where you see the double star, Oisa Kidamoran, across from here, you see the Rashi, Oisa, Ksheiro Velopsula. Only kosher type sacrifices as opposed to those that have become invalid. The Afke Rabbi Shimon Liel Chatas Shehoisa Lo Shasa Kosher V'Nifsala. Rabbi Shimon used the word Osa to exclude a sin offering that had once been acceptable, but then subsequently became posel. The Gemara asks, Utruma lo baya shtifa umarika? Is it so that Truma does not require riko shtifa? V'hotanya, we have the following source. Kedera shebishel bo basar lo yivashel bo cholov. A pot that was used for meat, don't cook up in it, milk. V'im bishel, if you cooked up some dairy item in the meat pot, then benoy saint tam, we evaluate the acceptability of the food if, let us say in this case, the meat imparts a taste into the dairy item. In other words, if upon eating the dairy item you can taste a meaty taste to it, then the food must be eliminated. Bishel ba truma, lo yivashel ba chulin. This is the point that's germane to our discussion. A pot that was used for cooking up truma, don't cook up in it that which is chulin, mundane. V'im bishel, let us say you did anyway, b'no saint tam. Then the chulin food will become usur, will become prohibited if there is a truma taste that was imparted. We see from here that the pot, if you had cooked up in it truma and then cooked up in it chulin, you have to kasher the pot. Likewise, if you have a pot that you had cooked up in it truma and you want to use it for something else, you have to do hag'olah to it to expunge the Iser, the prohibited or forbidden substance from within its walls. So from this source, you see that pots used for truma must undergo a type of cleansing process. So how can you say that truma does not necessitate marika ushtifa, which is a type of cleansing process? Let's glance at the side before we go further in the Gemara. We have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You see a triangle, because as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will see several of these. Gimel Drachim Liyashev, three approaches to resolve Ha Demitzad Echad Mimat in Trumim Rikud Shtifa. On the one hand, we seem to have excluded Truma from the realm of Rikud Shtifa, which is a cleansing process. Mitzad Sheni Amrina Dekli Shebushal Bo Truma boy hagola kedei latir lizorim. And on the other hand, we're saying that a pot that was used for cooking up truma would require Hag'ola, a boiling up process used to expunge the prohibited, in this case, truma substance that was absorbed in its walls, to have it removed from its walls in order to allow the vessel to be used for non-Kohanim. So once again, on the one hand, we have been saying that Truma does not require Mikon Shtifa. On the other hand, from this source, you see the need for Hag'olah, even though this wasn't said black and white in the source, but that's quite understood from the case this source just described. Omar Abaye. So Abaye comes to resolve the issue and says, we agree that Truma pots do require Hag'olah. So then, if they require Hag'olah, and at this point we're interchanging the idea of Hag'olah, the term Hag'olah, with Mrika and Shtifa, so if that be the case, so what was meant before when we said that that Truma was excluded from Rikod Shtifa? Lo Tzricha. This double underline with dots in it is going to highlight the expression Lo Tzricha to explain, as we've pointed out in our comment in the outside margin, Lahasbir Mima Imit Truma. These points will come to explain from what was Truma in fact excluded. So after acknowledging that Truma does require Hag'olah, so from what was Truma excluded? Lo Tzricha Elo Lida Omar Mar. It was excluded from that which was stated earlier. Bishel B'miktsas Kli Ton Riko Shtifa Kola Kli. We said that with regard to sacrificial meat cooked up in pots, even if the entire pot wasn't used for the cooking, the entire pot must be subjected to Rikon Shtifa. Ha Truma Lo Tzorcha Lo Mokum Bishel. As opposed to the case of Truma, only the section of the pot that had come into direct contact with the food, with the Truma food, only that requires the cleansing process, and not the entire pot. Rava Omar, Lo Tzricha. Rava says that there is a difference still between Truma and other and sacrificial vessels. Elo Lomar Mor, it's the difference, or from the point from which Truma is excluded, is as far as the following is concerned. The Pasuk says, Umoirak Vishutaf Bamayim, that we've written in between the lines. The Pasuk features the water as the substance for Mikon Shtifa. Bamayim Velo Bayayin, the source tells us that the word Mayim is to be emphasized. Water, yes, and not wine. B'mayim v'lo b'mozug, and water, and not with a other with some with wine that was diluted. What are we saying? We're saying that wine, that water alone, pure water, so to speak, must be used for Mrikon Shtifa, for standard Mrikon Shtifa. Ha, when it comes to truma, afilu b'yayin v'afilu b'mozug. When it comes to the cleansing of a truma pot, there we don't have this restriction. In other words, truma is excluded from this restriction. And therefore, in the case of truma, even wine or mozug could be used for the cleansing of the truma pot. Rabba bar Ula Omar, Lo Tzricha Ela, the exclusion of truma is in the following. Elo lechid omar mar Mrika ushtifa betzoinein. The Mrika ushtifa process is done with cold water in addition to the standard boiling up, the standard hagola bechamin. Ho afilu bechamin. In the case of truma, chamin alone is what is necessary. The boiling up is alone, or let's say not the hot water process alone is necessary by the truma. So let's go over this point. Rabba bar Ula says that when it comes to sacrificial pots used for cooking up sacrificial meat, there is Mrika Ushtifa is done with cold water, in addition to Hagola, which is done with hot water. In the case of Truma, only hot water is used. This approach works out well if you explain that Mrika and Shtifa is with cold water. But if you say that Mrika is in fact a process using hot water and Shtifa is with cold water, so from what was Truma excluded? We're in effect saying at this point that, well, general sacrificial pots were subjected to hot water, and Truma pots are subjected to hot water. So what's the difference? The Gemara answers there still is a difference. Shtifa Yeserta. The cold water stage, that applies only to sacrificial pots, and not to Truma. So, according to this final approach, even if you say that Mrika is with hot water, and it's true, in that case, sacrificial pots and Truma have that in common, nevertheless, after the boiling, is it to be subjected to a cold water rinsing? So, in the case of Kachim, sacrificial pots, yes. In the case of Truma, no. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.